Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you can see some video clips of our show at WNYC.org. Did you know that? We have excerpts from yesterday's interview with New York Times chief foreign correspondent John Burns. That was really interesting. He was here in our studio, so you can watch some video of that. Also, Mia Farrow in our studio about Darfur, Madeleine Albright on the Obama foreign policy, and more, all at WNYC.org/video. Coming up in a few minutes, we will listen in on part of Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's news conference, updating us on the increasingly controversial way he's administering the $700 billion bailout. With us now, Douglas Holtz Aiken, who was head of the Congressional Budget Office, called himself Congress's chief numbers cruncher, and chief economist with President Bush's Council of Economic Advisers, and the chief economic policy advisor to the McCain campaign, though at least some people in the media are speculating that he could be tapped to serve in the Obama administration. You may remember that we first interviewed Douglas Holtz Aiken at the Aspen Ideas Festival, where we met him this summer. And Doug, thanks for coming back on WNYC with us. Good morning.
It's my pleasure. Good to be back.
First, as an economist, have you ever seen anything like this? Earlier, I went through a list of just some of this week's developments, from American Express becoming a bank so it can get bailout money, to Starbucks sales or profits down 97%, to the dissension in Washington over what kind of bailout and what kind of homeowner relief. Where are we?
Well, I mean, this is obviously an incredibly traumatic economic period. I do remember, the recession that came in 1980 to 82, the deepest recession since the Great Depression. That was an equally difficult period in many ways. The characters, obviously, not comparable. This is much more an asset bubble, debt-driven, and financial markets phenomenon than that was. But there's real pain in both, and it does lead to lots of confusion about the next steps.
And right after you're on, we will hear some of Secretary Paulson's news conference on who's getting bailout money. How's he doing with this, in your opinion?
I'm objectively pretty underwhelmed. I think the fundamental thing that you need in moments like this is the ability to lay out in clear and distinct terms the path forward, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, how the steps will be taken to accomplish that, and what is to be asked of both the government and the private sector, those who get funds. We've never had the sense out of the Treasury that they were doing anything but casting about for what is the next thing they can do today. And I think it's left financial markets in a tremendous amount of confusion. It's led to the notion that anybody in trouble can line up and get some money from the government. That's not going to work. And, we really need to have a much more disciplined approach to this issue.
I don't know if you want to get this specific, but would you say no to American Express?
I can't get specific enough without looking at the balance sheets of these firms. The rule should be real simple, I think, which is in those circumstances where the demise of a firm would threaten the overall financial system or the welfare of the nation as a whole, it's essential, it's a sensible public policy to step in and help them out. If it's just a matter of trying to keep their shareholders happy or their labor and management on board, no.
And the auto companies through that lens?
The auto companies are the hardest. There's no question. I have very little sympathy for their plight, quite frankly. It's something that they've, in collaboration with their labor, built this problem. They've never come to terms with the 21st century market structures in which they have to compete. Nevertheless, they are large. We are at a position where, unemployment's rising. This would hit the Midwest incredibly hard. And so it's the kind of situation where you might want to do some things that you don't want to do. I'd be on that list. But if you're going to do it, you have to get some real change out of the auto companies. There has to be genuine restructuring of their labor contracts. They have to be bidding in the same labor markets that Toyota and Honda and successful car companies are. And you can't just throw public money in and prop up a business model. It's just not working.
How about making sure or having strings attached that would have them implement more of a green agenda on the kinds of cars they produce? Katrina Vandenhoevel was talking that up a minute ago, and that seems to be what the congressional Democrats and apparently President-elect Obama want out of this, in part. Does that go against your grain?
It depends what you're going to do with overall energy policy. I mean, I do have the following bit of sympathy for the auto companies. We've never developed a genuine national energy strategy in the United States to which successive administrations held themselves. So they've been receiving conflicting signals about which way to go for quite some time. So if the agenda is going to be one that I think is a sensible agenda, let's get off oil, in particular imported oil, let's build cars that are better for the environment and address global warming, then make that commitment broadly and don't ask them as a condition of help in a crisis to make cars that are not marketable. And that's what we would be asking them to do if we didn't make the other changes.
As head of the Congressional Budget Office, you were a deficit hawk once upon a time, concerned about taxes and inflation and the implications for our children. Now it seems to be caution to the wind, a $1 trillion deficit next year, probably, to keep the economy afloat. Do deficits not matter right now, in your opinion?
Deficits matter. They matter both from an economics point of view, and what we're doing right now is we are borrowing money from our children to pay off folks who build up big debts they couldn't afford. And that's all that's going on. And we have to be honest about that and make the claim that it's worth it because we'll build a stronger economy from which our children will benefit and thus pay them back in that way. If we don't do that, we've wasted the money. And they matter from a political point of view. And one of the things you're seeing now, one of the things that I am very, very concerned about is that once you're running a $1 trillion deficit, you know, people start to say, well, who cares? What's another $10 billion here, $20 billion there? That attitude is already set in Washington, and you can get from $1 to $2 trillion remarkably quickly if you aren't careful.
Yeah, that's right. Remember when, one of the big things in the campaign, and I don't have to tell you because you were so involved in the campaign, was the Obama folks saying, look, the Bush administration is spending $10 billion a month to fight the war in Iraq. We can put that money to much better use. We're spending $10 billion a week now just on AIG.
It's unbelievable. And one of the reasons I've always favored balancing the budget is not because it's economically the right number. Zero is not always economically the right number. But it is a political discipline. It gives you a way to say no. You want to say, look, we're going to make tough choices. Tough choices means in this world that not every good thing is good enough for the government to fund it. I mean, people often frame this question all wrong. They say, well, isn't that a good program? Of course it's a good program. The question is it good enough to take money away from people who have other uses for it and put it into a public program? That's the test. And with deficits as large as they are, people don't apply that test. They just borrow the money and do it.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken, my guest on WNYC, former director of the Congressional Budget Office, former economics policy advisor to the McCain campaign. And I did see your name on a speculation list somewhere about bipartisan appointments. Are you possibly in line for a job with the Obama administration?
I would be shocked, quite frankly. I mean, there are lots of people in the Democratic ranks who could, for example, fill the role of director of the Office of Management Budget. Robert Reichauer, one of my predecessors at the Congressional Budget Office, is, in my opinion, probably the best person on this planet to run that agency. He knows more about health care, more about budgeting than probably any person I know. And would be a wise hand at the helm. You know, the reality is that Democrats have a deep, deep, deep bench, and they're not going to get to Doug Holtz-Aiken.
Why do you think your name was floated at all? You've heard this, right?
Oh, who knows? maybe to get a little attention. It's always gratifying for people to think that you're qualified for a job, but I have no idea what the motives were.
Now that we're out of campaign mode, is he off to a good start with respect to this? I presume you saw his news conference the other day on wanting a stimulus bill with certain things in it, unemployment benefits, aid to states, a few other things during the transition.
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't see the news conference. One of my post-election vows was to not watch anything for a little while, and I've maintained that. He's got till January 20th, realistically, to do the transition. In that period, there will be, I think, a successive handoff from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. The first day is not the most important. What's important is January 19th. What's in place? What's the level of public confidence in the transfer? And what are the quality of the appointments and their agendas in the administration?
To go back to the bailout for a minute. Now, I am not an economist. You are. So you can tell me your opinion is going to mean a lot more than mine. But when I first heard the original blueprint for the Paulson bailout, it made some common sense to me, although a lot of economists say it really didn't make common sense. And the common sense was, if the root of the problem is the value of homes in America, because then, you know, without figuring out what the real value of homes is, banks really don't know how much money they have, that they were going to go and buy the toxic assets. They were going to buy this mortgage debt directly. And then it changed into a capital infusion into the banks, giving the banks options to do different things with it and, you know, going this way and that. Would it have made more sense, in your opinion, to just stick to plan A and buy up those toxic assets, complicated as they would have been to find a price for?
I don't think so. I always felt that there were several layers, and that, you know, certainly I think your instincts that the problem started in the housing market, we have to fix the housing market to solve this problem, I think that's exactly right. They were going to not start with the mortgages that individual homeowners held, but instead go past them and past the banks to these securitized bundles of many, many mortgages that contain all sorts of complicated provisions. Buying those up doesn't change the value of a home, and it doesn't change the value of the mortgage that an individual may or may not be able to afford, and so many individuals now can't afford their mortgages. So I thought that while they aimed at the mortgage market, they aimed at the wrong level, and they've never really come back until yesterday to talking about getting homeowners mortgages they can afford and keeping them in their homes. And we continue to have what I think is a very piecemeal and ineffective approach on this. The reality is that we've passed legislation where 400,000 homeowners are supposed to get help, and 42 got help in the first 2 weeks. That's too little, too late, and we're going to continue to struggle until a real plan is put in place.
Do you want to debrief the campaign just on this one point? It was the financial crisis, everyone says, that really sunk the McCain campaign. And for all the talk about Obama being a socialist, why do you think the American people decided he was so much more to be trusted with the economy? I mean, it's, you know, to people doing the analysis, it almost seems like a given. Well, if the economy is going bad, they're going to vote for the Democrat. Why do you think that was such a given?
Well, I think there. It's more complicated than that simple story. I mean, number one, when the financial crisis hit, all we talked about was the failures of the Bush administration, because here we go again. And any time the debate was about looking backwards at 8 years of Republicans, it hurt the McCain campaign. In the final 2 weeks, we managed to turn the debate into something that was about looking forward and who had the best vision for the economy. And in those 2 weeks, we closed quite strongly and, quite frankly, moved those, you know, who's better with the economy numbers by 10 full percentage points. So, you know, I'm a big believer that the financial crisis hurt us deeply in terms of campaign tactics and the message we were able to put out. But I think if you step back, the larger message was, electoral message was simple. For three successive elections now, the young people have voted Democrat. I think you view that as a very troubling trend for the Republican Party. That's in the end where we lost. Their turnout groups beat our turnout groups, and we have to turn out more Americans who are interested in the Republican Party, or we will not succeed going forward.
What about going forward? Conservatives ask if the party should return to a more conservative approach than even President Bush had with his spending on Medicare prescription drugs and No Child Left Behind, for example. Any view on that?
Well, conservative means different things to different people. There are the social conservatives, there are the economic and sort of fiscal conservatives of my type, and there are the conservatives who, quite frankly, just view themselves as trying to preserve the past at the expense of the future. And the trouble with the conservative label is it's not had a clear, coherent policy platform for a number of years. I believe going forward, there is a place for a Republican Party that is conservative in its vision of government, that it does the things that are necessary and helpful to Americans, but not more. And that vision of conservative government can appeal to young people. It's a vision that embraces global warming. Government does things because it must. It's a vision that can embrace health care reform and a variety of other things that obviously people care about, but which doesn't carry with it a lot of the baggage, which is in the extreme right part of the party.
You were assigned to Governor Palin for a while, weren't you?
I was.
How'd that go?
It was fine. I enjoyed working with the governor. She's a very talented politician, talented, obviously a talented public speaker, and a genuinely dynamic person for the future of the Republican Party.
You know, there are some people from within the campaign leaking that she wasn't intelligent. She didn't know that Africa was not a country rather than a continent, didn't know who was in NAFTA. Were you in on those moments?
I can promise you that a couple of things. Number one, I have no respect for people who leak off the record and don't back up what they're saying with some facts. And regardless of what they believe the truth to be, the method of conduct is something I believe is beneath dignity. And I personally won't engage in it. I supported this campaign. I did it to the best of my ability. I believe others did as well. And the notion that we're going to now go back and relitigate anonymously what went on, I think is beneath contempt.
So I'm asking you on the record, did she get it?
Yeah, I have a full support for the governor. I thought she's a fabulous candidate.
Douglas Holtzakin, who was the head of the Congressional Budget Office, chief economist with President Bush's Council of Economic Advisers, and the chief economic policy advisor to the McCain campaign. Real quick, what's next for you?
I'm going to find a job. It's one
tough.
Of those,
it's tough out there.
I noticed that. Timing is everything, and this is bad timing, but I'm out looking today, and I'll keep looking until I find one.
Thank you very much for coming on again. I hope you'll keep talking to us.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will go to Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's news conference on how he's administering the bailout. As you've heard, Douglas Holtzakin, not very impressed with it, coming out of the McCain campaign. Katrina Vandenhoevel before him, editor of The Nation, not very impressed with it. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson describing it to reporters and taking questions in a minute.